Hi, Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my forever soulmate and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sukkot Sameach, which means have a joyous Feast of Tabernacles, which, by the way, begins Friday evening and continues for 8 days. So tonight, we begin to look at this seventh appointment that, as in all the others, points directly to Jesus. Now, if these appointments of our Lord are new to you, rejoice, because you are about to be blessed with very unique information that only these feasts can bestow upon you, because the true meaning of the feasts are the bridges to understanding correct eschatology,
meaning the study of end times.
We are sincerely sharing this with you, for having a lack of this knowledge is why mistakes are made when it comes to understanding the true end time scenario.
And that's just a sure fact.
So, let's glorify God.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who provides for all our needs. God of our fathers, increase the presence of your divine Ruach to dwell in our midst. Spread over us your shelter of shalom and encircle us with your majestic glory. We thank you for sending your Son as we celebrate his earthly birth this week. We lift up to your throne this week's prayer request, especially those with serious diseases currently afflicted, those who are called by your name. We pray salvation for all our lost loved ones. We ask for you continued blessing on this ministry and for your favor in our finances. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And glory to God.
Okay, how about some biblical news?
Okay, well, for the first time, and in English, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia met with Fox News' Brett Baer, for a lengthy interview where he said, in spite of the rumors, peace talks continue with Israel, and he hopes for an historic agreement very soon.
And then Bibi was interviewed as well.
He was, and expressing the same expectations. But both did admit that the Palestinian issue was a sticking point. With that said, we know it will happen, but on God's timetable, as we've been saying. But just knowing that they're talking about it is very encouraging.
Yeah, because of Daniel 9:27.
Amen. Netanyahu also highlighted that it would change the Middle East forever and bring down the walls of enmity with the already planned creation of a corridor of energy pipelines, rail lines, fiber optic cables going between Asia through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Israel, and the United Arab Emirates. It's huge. And Bibi said this would be an amazing change, a pivot of history, his words.
Well, you know, Bibi also met first with Elon Musk.
Well, he did, in Silicon Valley, which underscores the importance he places on Israel's role in global innovation.
Well, you know, especially in artificial intelligence.
Yes, for sure. However, it has left some Jews scratching their heads as to why not focus on more important issues, like anti-Semitism, especially on social media. But Musk told Netanyahu he had been under criticism for holding a joint public event with him, the Israeli leader, due to Bibi's judicial reform plan, in fear that it would transform Israel into a dictatorship. And we've been talking about that for a few weeks. But Netanyahu said he was actually strengthened the country's democracy by putting checks and balances on the Supreme Court, explaining that Israel has the most activist judiciary in the world. But what was most disturbing is how Jews were actually flown in from Israel to protest the reforms in front of the UN building, which is and was a bad look and certainly shows division.
Yeah, but you know, the bulk of the conversation was about AI.
It was, and how it can be used to great advantage, and in fact invited Musk to Israel to further discuss the matter. And it does look like we will have another government shutdown. It's too bad we see division not just between Dems and Republicans, but within the House Republicans, as in Matt Gaetz against what he terms a rhino Speaker McCarthy.
I do wonder why he has not subpoenaed Hunter yet.
That is a wonder. And lastly, what can they do now to stop the invasion on our border? Especially as long as Biden is president.
Yeah, no, impeach him.
For what, Kamala? Mm. It's the same thing. Did you know over 85,000 children are unaccounted for? The sex slave market is booming while pushing sex changes on our precious ones. And have you seen the huge billboards in America that says abortion is okay with God? It's heartbreaking and very sad to watch America's decline, even though it is prophesied.
Jeremiah 30, verse 11.
Judgment is deserved.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, the Feast of Tabernacles represents and is celebrated in remembrance of how God totally took care of his own in the desert wilderness after escaping Egypt. And we read in Zechariah 14 that this festival will still be observed in the Messianic kingdom. But until then, is memorialized in anticipation of the coming Messianic kingdom. Interesting that God chose the first day of Tabernacles for Jesus to be born on earth.
Well, seems like birthdays are important.
For sure, his is.
And few even know the real date.
You know, only a remnant knows the deeper truths of God. Sukkot in Hebrew is plural for booths, and tabernacles will usher in the millennial kingdom on earth at the marriage supper of the Lamb at the official unveiling of his queen. Therefore, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you too can break bread at our marriage feast.
He's our Jehovah Jireh,
our provider, mm-hmm. And that's what Tabernacles is all about, his complete provisions for his own. And the Hebrews understood that very well during their extended time in the wilderness. As a result, once in their land, the yearly sukkah or tent-like booth, which they were commanded to build in Leviticus 23, is a visual memorial of that time. Today, spiritually, Yeshua is our sukkah,
our covering or armor of protection.
This 8-day Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh of all the feasts. And, you know, we've had much to say about all of God's appointments in the last 2 months, but we will especially elaborate even more so on this last one surrounding the great harvest when Jesus as king begins his rule over all the earth.
And we have covered a lot.
Yeah, we have. Starting back in August with Teshuvah.
The 40-day season of repentance.
We also studied God's new year called Rosh Hashanah.
Or Feast of Trumpets.
We examined the final days of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation.
Again, focusing on repentance.
Especially on Yom Kippur's Day of Atonement. And we gave the details of how that too will be fulfilled with Christ's second coming on the last day of his seven-year judgment. So this seventh and greatest of all feasts has, like the others, numerous idiomatic names as well.
Like the Season of Joy.
Tabernacles is the most joyous of all feasts, for it represents the Messianic Kingdom and was just Yeshua's birth. We know that because the angel in Luke 2 used that joyful terminology as a clue for us to know.
Well, so we know it wasn't on December 25th.
Clues are God's gold nuggets given to us throughout his word for us to find to become more informed.
Proverbs 25:2.
Right, which we remind you about all the time, which is why looking through the lens of your Jewish roots opens our eyes to see more clearly.
Amen to that.
Okay, so it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah or a tent-like booth for 7 days as a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely. There is a more detailed account of this by Nehemiah after returning to Jerusalem from Babylon. And after many years was then finally read by Ezra. We also know from Ezra chapter 8 verse 1 that it was the seventh month of Tishrei.
Meaning it was Rosh Hashanah, a new year.
And on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, they all gathered to hear Ezra read about dwelling in the booths during their soon upcoming feast we know to be Tabernacles. So let us pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 15 as God instructs the children of Israel what to do.
They should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards or the courts of the house of God and in the open square of the water gate and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim.
And they still do today, as I witnessed when visiting Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles. And some Orthodox still do over here as well. And happy to say, some Christians who know their roots, especially those with children, will build a sukkah as well. Praise the Lord. Let's continue in verse 17.
So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under booths, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner.
So besides on Saturday, they would enjoy an extra 2 high Sabbaths on the first day, which is Tishrei 15, again, Yeshua's birthday, and also on the eighth day, which was an extra day of the feast. Honey, tell the listeners why this is an important day as well.
Well, if he was born on the first day of Tabernacles, Jesus would be circumcised on the eighth.
Exactly, because Christ's circumcision is a type of his coming blood covenant. And we'll talk more about the eighth day next week, but a pretty big deal to God, and I must say it again. It's mind-blowing to comprehend or even try to comprehend how God arranged all these details hundreds of centuries in advance. And what else is so amazing is that he made it easy for us to figure out. And in this case, by telling us when John the Baptist's father Zacharias was serving in the temple.
Luke 1:5 and 1 Chronicles 24:10.
And then telling us that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her, when she told her she was pregnant as well.
It's all in his word.
All you need is to be a diligent student. With just that information that I just gave you and a little mathematical counting, we can also learn that Jesus was incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the 8th day of Hanukkah, which is also called the Feast of Lights, as is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right, because he is the light of the world.
Exactly, and all planned out that he would be born on the greater Feast of Lights and incarnated on the lesser Feast of Lights, Hanukkah.
Amen.
So before we talk about more idioms, let's first talk about some of the ceremonies, which of course all point to Jesus, of which one is called the waving of the lulav in Leviticus 23:40.
And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Okay, this is so good and a great typology. Everyone brings a fruit. They choose an etrog, also called a citron,
which is comparable to a lemon, but bigger and sweeter.
And would serve as the fruit of the good trees.
Trees represent people.
Yes, and there are good trees and bad trees. Anyhow, God demanded very specifically, as we just read, that they needed the branches of a palm and some myrtle, which would be the leafy tree, and also some willows. So then the three branches were held in the right hand, and the etrog was held upside down in the left hand. Then they would join together both hands while turning the etrog upright and begin waving the entire lulav in 6 directions.
North, south, east, west, and up and down.
Therefore, we see how spiritually it represents an important union. For after a person is turned right side up to God, then they would unite with Israel,
represented by the branches.
And anyone could choose to join in with Israel to serve the one true God. So, we are the etrog fruit when, as a believer, should, as referenced in God's word, join themselves to Israel.
To produce a greater and sweeter union.
And there are some more very unique characteristics about the different components of the branches.
Oh, do tell.
The date palm has no fragrance, but will produce fruit. The myrtle produces no fruit, but it does have fragrance. The willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze.
Yeah, you know, that's a great picture of the body of Christ indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And contrary to Democratic talking points, we are a diverse group with different attributes and different gifts. So, glean from this. Each item is found in diverse places. Willows near the brook.
Myrtle on the mountains.
Date palms in the valleys.
And the citron etrog from very fertile valleys of the deeper lower lands.
In other words, the body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world. Another ceremony during Tabernacles is called
the House of the Water Pouring.
Now, this is where the priests would cut 25-foot willow branches and align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. And when signaled, they would each step forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. And of course, that sounded like
a rushing wind approaching the temple.
Exactly. And while that was going on, the high priest and his assistant had retrieved a golden vessel of water known as the Mayim Hayim. And that means living water. And they got that from the Pool of Siloam.
And you know, that became a very important piece of real estate.
Oh, it really did. Because in the New Testament, John 9, Jesus put clay on the eyes of the man who was blind from birth and told him to wash it off in the Pool of Siloam. Anyhow, the high priest's assistant, which was a Levite priest, would carry a silver vessel full of red wine. So, as the priests with the willows approached the temple, they met up with the group from Siloam. When a trumpet was blown, a single flutist began to play, who was called, wait for it,
the Pierced One.
Yes. Who then led the procession as the wind and the water also entered the temple. I hope you get a picture of all this. But Jesus is our Pierced One, and he one day will lead all his righteous ones into his new messianic kingdom during this wonderful, joyous Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, you know, that's more great typology.
Oh, and there's so much more typology, but I'm afraid we're going to have to wait till next week. And we'll continue. There's even more on the house of the water pouring, and it's just amazing. I'm just amazed at how God put this all together in such detail. But by the way, if you're a father or a grandfather, why not construct yourself a simple sukkah for their kids to learn about this joyous feast and how God took care of the Hebrews 40 years in the wilderness. You could teach it really easy that way. And I promise you, you'll be rewarded in many ways for doing so. And know this, right now, you must be born again into Yeshua if you want to be a part of the future kingdom. Maybe you just accidentally stumbled on this program, but it's a direct message to you. You must be born again. And this new kingdom will be reserved for you as well. And it's ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles. So, be sure your relationship with Jesus is real. How can you be sure? You will have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, in his presence. Our Bible, because Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's pretty simple. The traditional prayer during Tabernacles is, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam she'asah li kol zorki. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. And of course, the Aaronic blessing, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. God bless.
Right. pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.